This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
في سورة الرعد. If everyone allows me to do that, I'll do it. Wise wolves. Surah Al-Ra'd, I've wanted to do tafsir of it for a long time, and I semi regretted doing it during the weekend of this year on Ramadan, just because a six pager needs a little bit more than four weekends to comfortably do tafsir of and explain. I think I probably needed like a 9 days instead of 8, but nonetheless, I think, inshallah, if you attended it and you've listened to the bulk or the majority of these durus, hopefully you have an appreciation of what the surah was teaching and what it was trying to explain to us, especially the importance of haqq. Because this surah, that's its main theme, is righteousness, is the truth, as the ultimate law, as the most important law that exists within the world around us. And the fact that without understanding this law, without adhering to what this law actually requires from us, then we will not succeed. And I think as an ummah, we need a little bit of a reminder of that, or some degree of a wake-up call. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these laws, and He expects us to abide by them. He expects us to live by these laws. You can't imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the world in a certain way, and yet He's going to grant you success and victory if you going against all of the laws that He created. There's with that comes a certain degree of cognitive dissonance that is concerning. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on earth, yani, the law of haqq and the law of change, and the basics that we understand, meaning if you work hard, you achieve. If you don't work hard, you don't achieve. If you're united, you're strong. If you're divided, you're weak. These are the basic laws. How, if we imagine that somehow we're going to go against all those laws and still everything's going to work out for us, that means we don't understand. There's a lot that we don't understand. Like there's a lot of that needs to be fixed. And that's what the Ra'd basically is trying to explain to us. That you have to understand that aside from the laws of fiqh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have in His sharia, which are important, we have to know them. We have to learn these laws and we have to live by them as well. There are laws that precede the laws of fiqh, which is the laws that govern the universe and govern the world that we live in. Those are His laws, right? They are His laws. Sometimes we don't understand. Gravity, Newton didn't invent it. He just described it. Gravity is God's law. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. It belongs to God. He made it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The law of haqq, the law that those who are righteous will prevail, that's His law. The law that those who are powerful will succeed, that's His law. That's what he made, that law, subhanahu wa ta'ala. We sometimes disconnect these basic natural laws from Allah. We think of something natural and we disconnect it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't understand why. All the laws of nature are His laws, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who created them. I want you to, the next time you study physics or you study chemistry, you study biology, and you're learning about the laws that govern the world, remind yourself that these laws are not man-made. They're man-described, they're God-made, they're His. He owns them, He put them here. They don't precede God, they don't come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came after. He made them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And since He made them, He expects us not only to observe them, He expects us to honor them, and He expects us to use them appropriately. And if we decide to go against them, not to sit around asking questions why it didn't work out. Like we should have enough any clarity not to sit around and ask God, why didn't this work out? Ya Rab, why didn't this work out? Well, you followed none of my laws. None of them. You are not united. You are not strong. You are not educated. You had nothing. What did you think? What did you expect? What did you think was going to happen? You thought this was going to work out. Honestly, you did. Your problems way beyond whatever I can explain to you with the Ra'd. If you think an ummah that is divided, that is uneducated, that is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has no power, that has no resources, that produces nothing, that has no sense of togetherness, that somehow is going to prevail, hakada. And then I say this and someone jumps and says, ah, Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Yes, of course, ala kulli shayin qadir, but He also put these laws in place for us to follow. And if we don't follow, then it's disrespectful to turn to him and say, well, why? 40 men ran down a mountain. They paid for it for 6 years. 40 men. 40 out of 700. What is that? What's 40 out of 700? I did this math before, by the way, and I can't remember it. It's less than 1%. Am I right to say that? No. It's 2.something%. It's less than 10. Right? That's it. 40 men. Right. Huh?
They divided by 700.
Yeah. 0. Yeah. Okay, 15. 1.5. Right?
5%.
Yeah. No. Sorry. No. It's 1.5. Khalas. I'm a physician. I lost math years ago. I lost my mathematical ability. But we don't have to get into the semantics of this. Yeah, guys, what? Yeah. So you're talking about less than 5% of people. Yeah. Less than ran down the mountain. They paid for it for 6 years. The Prophet ﷺ paid for it physically. The Sahaba paid with it through their lives. You're talking about some of the greatest names that ever lived. You're talking about Hamza ibn Abdul Talib and Mus'ab ibn Umair and Anas ibn Nadr. These people fell that day. Yazid ibn II and his group. The Prophet ﷺ didn't look the same. He didn't look the same. There was a scar on his face. There was a tooth that was broken. They continued to assassinate Muslims for years to come. All of them, all of it because the day of Uhud happened. Because for 6 years they paid for this. One mistake. They lost and they paid for it. We honestly think that we can afford to go against all of his laws, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and still hope for an outcome that is I don't get it. I really don't. And that's why I chose this surah, because it gives you laws. Here's the law. Change. You want change? You have to change. If you don't, it's not everything stays the same. It's impossible. What you see today when people come to masajid, this is the intention of change. It's not change. It's the intention of change. When people come to masajid and they fill them up and start praying, that is the intention of change. It is not change. Change happens after. Change happens outside. Change is what's going to come next. This is just the intention. This is just that's all it is. And that's important to take into consideration, to understand, if we actually hope that within another generation we'll see something different in the world, then we have to study this surah, we have to study this law, and we have to live by it in order for us to achieve the objective. We'll start, inshallah, with ayah number 38. We'll, inshallah, conclude the surah at ayah 43, bidnillahi ta'ala. So we'll start from ayah number 38 of Surah Al-Ra'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد أرسلنا رسلا من قبلك وجعلنا لهم أزواجا وذرية وما كان لرسول أن يأتي بآية إلا بإذن الله لكل أجل كتاب يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت وعنده أم الكتاب So after the verses that we explained yesterday, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out a few truths to the regarding disbelief, regarding mockery, and regarding lacking substance in the claims that you make, lacking the ability to define what you're saying and actually using words appropriately. I took some time in explaining that and how that's what they're accountable for. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, here, and this is for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this was something for him to contemplate. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ Indeed, we have sent prophets before you. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّ And we made for them, we gave them spouses, and we gave them offspring and children. Meaning, the claim that the kuffar would make in Nuh, why are we accepting him? Why are we believing in him? And he's just basharun mithluna ya'kulu mimma yani basharun mithlukum ya'kulu mimma ta'kuluna minhu wa yashrabu mimma tashrabuna wa la'in ata'tum basharan mithlakum innakum idhal khasirun. This ongoing rhetoric of why is it that we're believing in a person, yani qalu ma li hadha ar-rasul ya'kulu at-ta'ama wa yamshi fil aswaq. And he, what is the prophet who eats food like us and walks into markets and buys things and has a family? They were using this was the argument that they were using. Now, in order for us to believe in what you're saying, you have to give us something different. And the argument in the Quran is, وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ مَلَكًا لَجَعَلْنَاهُ رَجُولًا وَلَلَبَسْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا يَلْبِسُونَ. We would never send anything but a human being. If he were to send a malak, he would look like a human being. Eat like a human being, walk like a human being, talk like him. You wouldn't know that he was a malak. It has to be a human being. It has to be someone like you. How else are you going to learn? How else are you going to emulate? How else are you going to follow? You can't follow someone who is not similar to you. You can't follow someone whom you have nothing in common with. It makes no sense. Actually, if he sent them, your argument would be amazingly strong. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a malak or sent something else and say, hey, be like this person. Well, I'm not like that. Whatever it is that you send, I'm not like this at all. I can't be like them. Make me like them and I'll be like them. So he sent rusul. Human beings like yourself, rusulan min qablik. This is a fact. The rest of the surah, as I explained, is just truths. Just truths, just facts, just laws. Here's what happened. Rusulan min qablik have been sent many times. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيًا. All of them had spouses and they had children. Many prophets. The beauty of our perspective as Muslims is that not only do we accept all of the prophets that exist in the Old Testament and in the Bible, and the prophets, the 25 that are counted in the Quran, but we accept every other prophet, the ones that we don't even know, which is what this ayah is trying to explain. Many, many times before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets, we accept them all. We believe every major faith was basically a prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with a book. And of course, the hand of man manipulated that teaching and ended up something that it's not. And that's what we have right now. You end up with this end product that is completely different. There are remnants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's teaching in it. That's why all of the faiths, there are certain parallels you can draw between faiths. They all talk about some degree of accountability. They have the idea of Jahannam, they have the idea of Nar, they have the idea of creation. They have these parallels. These parallels actually prove that the original story is the same. Sometimes it is used as an opposite argument that, oh, you know, people just copycat. No, this is evidence that no matter where you go on earth, you find the same basic story. Some, there are variations, but the same story. And the reason being it's the same story is that the origin is the same. They all came from prophets. And then the hand of man manipulated it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the prophet, أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ رُسُلًا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. We have sent many prophets before you. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. وَمَا كَانَ لِرَسُولٍ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِآيَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And no prophet was able to bring a miracle except through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason you don't have one is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give you the permission to have anything aside from the Quran that was just talked about in the verses before. I mean, the concept of the importance of the significance of the Quran that it was discussed in the page before, وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was being told, look, you don't have something, because I'm sure for in his mind, and in the hearts of the Sahaba as well, that maybe having a, some physical, extraordinary phenomenon helped the credibility along a little bit. Maybe something he could do every once in a while, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, like a tada, that everyone has to listen. Musa alayhi salam had it, Isa had it, so he's probably wondering, like, why? No, you have the Quran. The whole idea is you don't need. If we gave you something, it would be saying that the Quran is not enough. If we gave you something, it would be an admission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, the Quran is not enough. Here's an accessory. Here's some help. You don't need it. You have this. You don't need it. You absolutely don't need it. Was it true? Is that the truth or not? Has that not been proven? Huh? Look at this ummah. You're talking 2 billion people. One of the largest faiths on the planet. Most argue it's the largest because the numbers regarding Christianity are convoluted and they're putting together groups of Christians that have nothing in common whatsoever. And it points out the majority of the people that they're counting as Christians are actually non-religious altogether. Like it's not fair, but that's fine. Let's say that it's the second largest faith on the earth. It's talking about 2 billion people. A prophet came with nothing extraordinary. He came with a book. And today he has 2 billion followers on the planet. Yeah? Enough or not enough? You understand what I'm trying to say? This is what I'm trying to explain. All the other prophecies before, they had something. They had some mu'jiza, some miracle, something that broke the laws of physics for a moment. The laws that he's talking about in Surah Al-Ra'd. All the laws that he explained to us at the beginning of the surah. Yeah? Some prophet came and broke them. Water is fluid. Nope, not anymore. Right? Broke these laws. Surah Al-Ra'd came and says, these are the laws. They're not breakable. And we're going to give you a book that actually teaches you to honor those laws. And when you honor those laws, that's when you're going to be successful. And time will prove it. And time did. And we are an ummah whose miracle is a book. Go home with that today. You're a part of an ummah whose miracle is a book. It's a book. That's your miracle. That's what you have. That's when Musa throws his staff and Isa alayhi salam resurrects the dead and Salih alayhi salam breaks the boulder in the mountain, you hold a book. That's what you're going to do. And if you feel less impressive, less powerful, because of it, then you have not understood. This book teaches you how to live according to the laws that he put here. And that's stronger than anything else. It's way more powerful than any other show of a break of those laws for a moment. Breaking those laws for a second, just for people to be impressed. No, this is more. وَمَا كَانَ لِرَسُولٍ أَن يَأْتِيَ بِآيَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ لِكُلِّ أَجْلٍ كِتَابٍ. Every matter that is destined has a decreed time. Every issue in this world, every matter in this world, لِكُلِّ أَجْلٍ, everything that goes through the course of time has a decreed moment where it ends or where it begins, where it becomes powerful or when it ends. لِكُلِّ أَجْلٍ كِتَابٍ, everything. There's always, everything runs its course in this world. Everything runs its course. And when does the course end? It ends whenever the kitab says so. Whenever the decreed time that was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given. لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ كِتَابٍ يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases and deletes whatever he wants. وَيُثْبِتُ, and he confirms whatever he wants. وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, and he has the master of records. I talk about this a lot in the Aqidah courses because I think it's important, and this is a really strong, powerful ayah. I could take a long time talking to you about it and explaining certain aspects of Qadr and Qadr through it. I'm going to summarize it quickly for you so you understand what I'm trying to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has multiple records. There's a record called the Lawh al-Mahfuz. In that record, everything that has ever happened and will ever happen, isn't it? No one sees or knows anything within that record aside from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no living creature that has read that record or seen what it is. It's Lawh al-Mahfuz. It's the concealed Lawh. Lawh is scripture. Ummul Kitab, the master of records. This is something that that creations have access to and they see. And this is what the Malaika write. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as far as this record goes, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. He will erase certain information and put other information. I mean, this is where your behaviors have effect. This is where your dua, where your choices, where your decisions will change the course of how things work out for you in your life. If you were born in a situation where the higher likelihood of your destination was going to be failure or is going to be disbelief, and you made choices to change that, this is where يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. If you had made choices that were destining you to Jahannam, and you made a choice in your life that turned your made dua, that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَمْحُ, the fact that you're going in that direction and put in something different. All of that information, all of those changes that are occurring, are documented في لوح المحفوظ, and they never change. All of those variations and all those changes that are occurring, Allah yamhu wa yuthbit, and you make choices and then Allah change. All of that is already documented fi lawh al-mahfuz, but no one sees it. No one has access to it. Ummul Kitab is where Malaika see, and maybe some other creations have access to as well. And that's what the Malak comes and writes when they say, فَيَأْتِي الْمَلَكُ فَيَكْتُبُ رِزْقَهُ وَعُمْرَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ وَسَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. That's Ummul Kitab. That's basically the destination based on your circumstances, and then you get to make changes to that. Your choices in life will affect that and will influence it. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will erase certain things and He will confirm other things as you go along. But all that information, the end outcome of it all, with all of the variations and details, is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, which no one has access to but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as a side thought, as you kind of wrap your head around this, when you say, well, it's already written in the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I ask you this, what is written? What's in there? Like, I don't know. If you don't know, then what does it matter? If you don't know, how does it matter? If you're like, well, it's written, I know, but what is written? Is it written that you're going to do well or not going to do well? I don't know. Then how does that affect you? If you don't know what's written, it's majhul, it's unknown. If you don't know what the number is, if you don't know what the actual writing is, then why are you so preoccupied that it's written? If you don't know what's written, you have no idea what's there. If it was given to you that it's written, shaqi, I'm not going to make it, and then you can have an argument with me. And yeah, it'll be a much more interesting discussion you and I will have. But you don't know what's written. So what exactly are we discussing? Like, what? I don't understand what, when you come and say, well, it's written, and I can't, what is written? That's the first thing that comes out. It's already written, and I can't, hold on. What is already written? What I'm going to do, which is what? Which is what? What is it that you're going to do? And then the person just, well, I haven't decided yet. Exactly, you haven't decided yet. Decide what you're going to do, and that'll be written. There's no point of having a discussion on things being written when you don't know what is written. I'm just arguing this from a different perspective. Instead of arguing, I usually explain aqidah differently, but I'm just giving a simple side argument. The human being loves to hold on to the futile points in discussion and conversation. I spent the majority of my 20s in debate, by the way. I used to drive for a couple of hundred kilometers just to go debate people. I had a few friends. This is all we did. And we would debate them just as the opposite of whatever they were. We had no interest of being, what are you? And then we'd argue as the opposite. And the point was usually, they were Muslims, and the point was to say that al-haq is not always just in one small little group of maybe a couple of hundred people. The haq is actually, the Islam is a river, it's not really a line. So maybe you have an opinion here, but there's other opinions that can be acceptable as well. And when you have, and sometimes the discussions that come up with the qada and qadr are very, very futile, and they're very weak, and they lack any substance really. It's already written. You hear this all the time. Yeah, what is? Just ask that question. Ask them, what is written? What I'm going to do, which is what? And then they have to either say whatever Allah wants me to do, which means, oh, so you have no control over your actions at all. You feel right now that you want to get up, but you can't. Huh? You don't want to be here, but you have no choice because Allah has your key. Is that what you're saying? Listen to how ridiculous that is. Everyone chooses to do whatever they want to do. So you choose what you're going to do, and whatever you do is what's going to be written, and the outcome of your choice is what's going to be written there. So don't get caught up. The problem would be if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote it and then he shared it. That would be a problem. If he shared with you, fulanun, and then, okay, what are we going to do? How do you have this discussion? But since you don't know, then really there's no point of having this discussion altogether. Like, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ. He erases what he wants. He confirms what he wants. He has the master of records, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you still have influence on it. And that's one of his laws, subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. وَإِمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْضَ الَّذِينَ عِدُوهُمْ أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِي الأرض ننقصها من أطرافها والله يحكم لا معقب لحكمه وهو سريع الحساب وقد مكر الذين من قبلهم فلله المكر جميعا يعلم ما تكسب كل نفس وسيعلم الكفار لمن عقبى الدار So he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْضَ الَّذِي نَعِدُهُمْ أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ And either you will live long enough to see some of what we have promised the disbelievers in terms of punishment, أو نتوفينك, or you die before that. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was never promised to live long enough to see the outcome of his work. Yeah? He was never promised that. Even وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ that came at the end of his life عليه الصلاة والسلام was a promise that he was going to live to fulfill one or two more things, which was the Hajj and the... But in Mecca, he was never promised عليه الصلاة والسلام that he was going to actually live long enough. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wasn't told that. And that's a really important part of understanding his life. That he was never told, yeah, you're going to be fine. Yes, they're going to try and assassinate you, but you're not going to die. No. The Quran came and said, وَإِمَّا نُرِيَنَّكَ بَعْضَ الَّذِينَ عِدُهُمْ. Either you live long enough and you see some of what we have promised the kuffar in terms of their failure, in terms of their defeat, and the success of this da'wah, and the success of the message of al-haq, أَوْ نَتَوَفَّيَنَّكَ, or you die before that. So what? فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَغْ. So remember, exclusively, your job is balagh. This is education. Is to make sure that you explain things to people. You warn them and you give them the info. وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابَ. We'll take care of judgment. We'll judge people. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, with this verse, he's being told exactly what all of us are being told. And this is like it's the most widespread and the simplest piece of advice for all of us. You don't know. You have no idea what you're destined for. You don't know how long you're going to live and what exactly you're going to end up being able to witness and see in your life. All you know is what it is that you're here to do. Which is what? For the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is very clear. He is البلاغ. That's what he has to do. He has to بلغ. فإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته. بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. You are obligated to educate and explain, right? You live long enough to see the outcomes. You don't live long enough. It works out. It doesn't work out. That's all in the air. Allahu alam. It's really not your part to know this or to dictate it or to, you know. So before I do this, I need to know conditionally, will it work out? Because if it's not going to work out, I don't want to waste my time. No. Same thing goes for you and I. We have a job to do. We have a job to do. It's a mission. We have to fulfill it. We have to live our lives fulfilling that job that Allah subhanahu gave us. This is what He put us here on earth to do. Whether we see the outcomes or we don't, it works out in our lifetime or it doesn't, whether everything we do ends up failing or it succeeds, has nothing to do with it. You just do it. What's your job? Balagh plus a bunch of other stuff that we have to do. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ at that time was balagh. His in Mecca was balagh. It turned into something much more complex later on when he moved to Medina and he was ruling a country and but at that point in Mecca, balagh, just explain. Just go and speak to people, which he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went and spoke to everyone he could. He reached out to every human being he possibly could, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we have to just identify what is it that we have to do? What are our obligations? The final, inshallah, Fajr, which is going to be Tuesday since Eid is Wednesday, I'm going to share with you like a Ramadan, an end of Ramadan reflection and plan for moving forward. Monday, usually we do Asma'ullah al-Husna. I have completed the names. I want to do, Monday will be the finale of that series of Asma'ullah al-Husna. Then Tuesday, since it's the 30th morning, and if I have to sit here and talk, then you have to sit here and listen, because it's Na'ani. But if I have to be here, then you have to be here. You're not going to get to pray Fajr and go home. You have to sit here and listen to me, because when I'm done, then we'll all leave together. And I'll share with you a couple of points and ideas of what it is we should be thinking of doing, because the Quran is really very, very big on the concept of, look, stop asking and focusing on aspects that you of life and existence that you don't have control over, that you were never asked to look into or to take interest in to begin with. Focus on the piece of the work that you're responsible for, and just do that. And leave everything else, because you can't control it and it's beyond your reach. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being told, you live, you die, who knows? This to me is... I always thought when I was a kid that he must have been, because that's how we watch, all the movies are like that. You know, the one is always told that eventually you'll make it, and then they're in a big problem and they're wondering if they're going to make it or not or something. The Prophet ﷺ was never told, no, you may make it, you may not, no promises at all. You have one job, عليك البلاغ, علينا الحساب. You explain and educate, we'll hold accountable. But how is it going to work? Not your business. But I need to, no, you don't need to know. But I want to see that. No, you don't have to see. But can you show me? No, I'm not going to show you. Just do your piece. Just do your part, and that's it. Yani, subhanAllah. This is the simplest piece of advice that we have. It's like, and yet it's so hard to follow. It's just so hard to follow. You know, if you're a parent, children Yani, they test you with this. You explain, look, I just need you to go clean your room. That's it. Just go clean your room. But then what is Fulana doing? And when are we gonna go? And yeah, Habibi, just listen, look at me. Look at me. Just go and I'm planning everything else out. Clean your room. But when are we gonna go? And then if I'm late and what? Yeah. One thing, I need one thing from you. And they still don't do it. Like, he'll go sit in a room and won't clean it. But this is a problem of the human nature, is that we want everything explained beforehand, in detail, in depth. They want examples before we do our job, and that's not how this works. If it didn't work, if that's not how it worked for the Prophet Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajma'in, then it's not going to work for us any differently. فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. And then he explains subhanahu wa ta'ala a little bit more. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا. Did everyone not see? أَنَّا نَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ سُبْحَانَ بِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. This ayah is in the Quran more than once. نَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. That we come to the earth and we control. وَنَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. And we take sovereignty from all sides of it, from those who think that they are invincible. نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا, from their sides. نَنْقُصُهَا mean we take it back. We take back from people who think that they own it and it's theirs. نَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمْ. And Allah is the one who gives decree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes decisions. لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. When He gives a decree, no one gets a follow-up. No one gets to change that. No one gets to question it after it happens or make any dent in it. يَحْكُمُ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. When He makes a decree, He gives a decree, that's it. This is what's going to happen. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. When you resist it or not, it's going to occur. وَهُوَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And He is the one with the fastest reckoning. And he's the fastest of judges, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah is just to strengthen what we just learned. You don't need to know all the details. You don't need to know you don't need assurances of any sort. Why? You didn't see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ يَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا. That He encompasses the earth and He takes it and He takes sovereignty away from those who think that they have it. And He is the one who gives decree and no one follows up and no one changes that which He decrees. And He is the fastest of judges, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the answer is yes, bala, of course. Then calm down. Then rest assured that things will run however He wants them to run. Just focus on your piece. Where is my piece of the puzzle? All right, this is what I have to do. Then I'll dedicate myself to doing that until I meet Him again. Figure out what it is you're going to do. This is my advice to you. Find out. His obligation was balagh, alayhi salatu wasalam. He had to do that. It's hard. Balagh isn't fun. It's not fun at all. Talking to people who don't want to listen to you is not fun. Honestly, this is a part of his character that we don't really think about very often. يقصر العمر. يقصر العمر أن تكلم من لا يريد سماعك. Speaking to people who don't listen to you, wallahi bi'asr umrak, will take away years off your life. Speaking to people who don't want to listen to you, who don't want you to speak to them, is one of the most painful things you'll do in the entirety of your existence. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had to spend the majority of his life doing that, going and speaking to people who did not want to listen, time and time again. He earned his position alayhi salatu wasalam to preach to his followers. He earned it. He had to earn every moment of it by spending years upon years upon years performing balagh to those who had no interest in what he had to say, those who would curse him publicly when he did, those who would mock him as he spoke, those who would mistreat him and physically push him around as he was trying to preach, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his job was balagh. He never complained. See, we don't take that seriously because there's no complaints. He did it so gracefully, he made it seem as if it was effortless. He made it seem as if it is effortless, and it's not. It's very hard. At some point you're like, Ya Rab, do I keep on talking to these people who don't want to listen to me? He never asked a question. He was told, balagh, balagh. And every morning he gets up and he goes again. And he moves from one tribe to the other, one group to the other, alayhi salam, and he relentlessly, with resilience and grit, never giving up, never complaining about it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He did it so well that we just don't even take time to reflect on the fact that he did that. Because I sit here and I talk to you, and you're here because you want to listen. You're not stuck here. And it's still hard to talk. It's still not easy because everyone has a different, a different taste and a different flavor of what they want and what works for them. Imagine sitting and talking to people who don't want to listen to you every day. Wallahi, I can't imagine doing it. I would have failed at 100%. There's so many aspects of his experience, alayhi salatu wasalam, where you see something, I can't do that. But he knew what he had to do. And he did it. And the question is, do you know what you have to do? And will you do it? Don't be preoccupied with that which is not your job. Why? Have you not seen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ يَنْقُصُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا? He snatches back the sovereignty from all sides of earth from those who think that they have it. And he decrees, and no one challenges his decree, and he is the one who will hold the people accountable. His reckoning is fast and swift. وَقَدْ مَكَرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And so that you know, all of the people who came before مَكَرُوا, meaning they plotted. The people who came to the other prophets in the past, and they've all plotted. وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا. They brought their plots and their secret counsel and their secret conspiracies. They brought them. They brought their game. وَقَدْ مَكَرَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلِلَّهِ الْمَكْرُ جَمِيعًا. All plotting belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who moves everything. He is the one who controls it all. No one is plotting outside of his will. No one can fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can take something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he does not want to give them, or is not going to leave them to have. No. فَلِلَّهِ الْمَكْرُ جَمِيعًا يَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسِ. Every soul, whatever it is that it is gaining in its on earth, in its life, he knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-kasb is everything you do. Everything you do. Positive, negative, giving, taking, it doesn't make a difference. Whatever, everything you do is called kasb. And this is something, when you study aqidah, the word kasb is a big deal. The word kasb is something that the Asha'ira, Maturidi, and Salafiyah have disagreed upon for a very long time, and continue to do so in terms of how they define it, because it's a hard word to define. To make it simple, it's everything that you are, and everything that you are doing. يَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسِ. He's watching every nafs, what it is that is gaining, what it is that is doing. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الْكُفَّارُ لِمَنْ عُقُبَ الدَّارُ. And the disbelievers will find out on the Day of Judgment who is going to get the ultimate placement. Who has عُقْبَ الدَّارُ, who has the ultimate placement? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They'll find out. The kuffar will find out on the Day of Judgment. You don't know now, you'll find out later. You'll find out later. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَجْعَلَ لَنَا عُقْبَ الدَّارُ. Recite the last ayah, inshaAllah.
ويقول الذين كفروا لست مرسلا. قل كفى بالله شهيدا بيني وبينكم. ومن عنده علم الكتاب.
And the disbelievers will say, you're not really a prophet or a messenger because you didn't bring us an extraordinary phenomenon or a miracle. That's what they'll say. Say, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ. I am satisfied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a witness between me and you. وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. And those who have the knowledge of the previous books, or have the knowledge of Scripture. Those who have knowledge of Scripture know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam brought that which is the truth. Those who understand previous examples of prophecies and messages know that the example of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is undeniably the example of a true prophet and true messenger, a messenger of haqq. They know it. It's just hard to leave something you've been stuck with for a long time and you've defended for a long time. I don't envy someone on the other side of the rails. I don't. I can't imagine. I have empathy for them. I hope you do too. If you're stuck with a lousy theology and a lousy narrative, a lousy deen, it just doesn't work, and you've had it for a long time, and you've had to defend it for a long time, and then you run into something much better, it's very hard to drop that which you have and go to something new, and admit that for a long time you were preaching something that was not the truth. It's very hard. So have empathy for someone who's in that position and make dua that Allah subhanahu guides them. But at that time, that's what they told him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Lasta mursala, you're not a prophet. Fine. Qul, this is what you say, ya Muhammad. Qul kafa billahi shaheedan. I am satisfied, and it's enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the witness between me and you and those who have knowledge of the book. Yawm al-qiyamah, he'll bring us, all three of us, and he'll judge who is it that was truthful and who adhered to haqq and who didn't. Who accepted haqq and who did not? Who went by that which was the truth to them? Who lived their truth and who did not? And that's what's going to happen yawm al-qiyamah. We'll have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaheedan baynana. He will be the witness. He will be the one who holds us accountable for how we decided to live our lives. It's going to be a very difficult argument if you didn't make good choices. You're going to lose this discussion. You're going to lose this debate. You're going to lose it. If you didn't make the right choices in your life, you're going to stand there and you're going to lose. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once He shows you the exact, once you see the bigger picture, once you zoom out, it's going to be very obvious what you should have done. How you should have lived your life becomes extremely simple. Extremely simple. But then, But then that's then, later on, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala zoomed out for you and showed you the story and you saw exactly where your role was and how simple and how easy and how clear it was. But it'll be too late. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his job is not to control the outcome, not to force them. They're saying, lest Allah said, your job is not to bring them something more than, no, you already gave them what they need. Say, kafa billahi shaheedan bayni wa baynakum. Allah is our witness between us, between you and you, and those who have the knowledge of the book, and yawm al-qiyamah, he'll judge between us. Continue to do what you're here to do. That's what this ayah is saying. Just continue, focus, what are you doing? What is your job? You know what your job is? Yeah, continue. Kafa billahi shaheedan bayni wa baynakum. That's it, you don't want to listen? You're calling me a liar? Fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge between us, and then focus on your role. Just focus on what you're here to do. It's very hard. It's easy to get distracted. There's too many things happening in life. You can always, no. Even those who are calling you a liar to your face. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How hard it must have been to hear the fact that he was being told that he's a liar. Never lied in his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's receiving wahi from Jibreel every day. He's sharing it. They're saying these to him. Fine. You would think, وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَسْتَ مُرْسَلًا, that his answer would be, here's something to shove in their face as a way. No, just say, كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا بَيْنِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough. He'll judge between us. Understand? He's not being offered, alayhi salatu wasalam, here's something extra. No, there's nothing extra. There's nothing. This is it. These laws, that's it. That's all you're going to get. Do your job. You live, you die, do your job. People accept you, don't accept you, do your job. They plot, they don't plot, do your job. They believe you, they don't believe you, do your job. Just do what you're here to do. This is enough. It will eventually work out. Focus on what you have. And I can't imagine a better message at the end of Ramadan than that. And that's why I chose Surah Al-Ra'd. I hope you found, inshallah, the meanings of this surah to be beneficial. I hope you enjoyed the surah. And inshallah, you know, this will inspire you to memorize it and to take these teachings and these learning points as implementable in your own life and something you can share, inshallah ta'ala, with others. Subhanallah, bihamdik, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair, barakallahu feekum. Inshallah, the khatmah is tonight. Try to show up a little bit early if you want to attend it, because it usually gets pretty busy pretty quickly on the 29th night. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.